and we saw an inverted yield curve was 2007. We know what happened in 2008. You know how expensive it was, although places like South Africa and the developing world were, to a degree, shielded from this particular recession we had then. But, I mean, essentially, that inverted yield curve means that your short-term bond yields pay more than your long-term bonds, and it should be the other way around. And I think since 1956, we probably had six times that we've turned into a recession after that particular inversion. And I think it was between 7 and 24 months. That's how long it took for those recessions to kick in. So Dr. Azhar Jamin, I'm going to be trying to explain this to you in English. He knows a lot more than all of us as far as that is concerned. You might know more than me, though. So Dr. Azhar Jamin, good morning. Good having you on the show, Chief Economist at Econometrics.
Good morning to you, Bruce, and to your listeners.
Now, tell me, Azhar, are you concerned about this inverted yield curve?
I am concerned more about the state of the world economy and have been concerned for many years.
Yeah.
The fact that the yield curve has inverted, however, it does not necessarily mean that we go into a recession. And the reason why I say that is because in the last 10 years, central banks of the world have really confused the issue by artificially buying back bonds from financial institutions, so-called quantitative easing. And to some extent, therefore, they have distorted the trend of interest rates. They've bought bonds of two-year maturity, they've bought bonds of 10-year maturity, and one therefore cannot necessarily conclude that because this time round we again have a yield inversion, that this means a recession. However, what I have been concerned about for a long, long while is that this very pattern of pumping more money into the global financial system artificially by buying back bonds that financial institutions purchase can lead to a huge distortion of interest rates by keeping them artificially low at a time when government debt levels are at records or near records in most advanced economies. And this really is a way of artificially trying to keep the wolf at bay.
Yeah,
you
indeed.
See, back in the global financial recession, the way in which governments try to get out of a more serious economic downturn was to issue a huge amount of money to pump into global financial institutions to rescue them. And that was taxpayers' money that elevated government debt levels to nearly 100% of GDP on average in these major economies. Now, we in South Africa are worried about government debt levels of 60 and 70% of GDP, and that is mainly because our interest rates, long-term interest rates, are in the region of 8 to 9 and to 10%, and therefore the debt servicing costs are very pernicious for us.
Sure.
But what's happened in advanced economies is their central banks have artificially suppressed the debt servicing costs of their governments by pumping an unprecedented $13 trillion worth of money into the financial system to keep those interest rates low. And that is what concerns me. Is there's been an attempt at kicking the can down the road all the time to try and delay the effects of the global financial crisis of 2008. And there's going to be a time of reckoning at some stage. Whether it's now or later, I'm not sure.
Well, those interest rates, the fact that we owe, what, half a trillion and then some from Eskom alone, the fact that we've dropped 3.2% in our GDP, we're not creating enough jobs. I mean, these are also a myriad of concerns and, for us ourselves. But, I mean, it's something that we'll continue talking about. So, Dr. Azhar Jamin, I want to thank you very much for joining us on The Breakfast Show this morning.